Welcome to Supernova Presents, Be All You Are. I'm your host, Kena Paranjape. This is a space for women in midlife who feel that there is more and are no longer willing to follow inherited paths. Here, we explore how to trust yourself, expand what's possible, and choose what comes next together. And this is where that conversation begins. Welcome back, beautiful women. So today on the podcast, we are continuing our conversation around what it means to be a self-authored woman. How do we take back the pen, take control of the narrative, find meaning in our story up until this point, reject the paths that we've inherited that no longer serve us, and write a new way forward? A way forward that maybe feels uncomfortable. It feels like something we haven't really seen in close proximity before. But that requires our vision, our imagination, our creativity, our belief. That's what this third part is focused on. We are focused today on being a self-authored woman. If you have not already listened to the first two sessions in this series, I invite you to do that. You just have to go back and listen to the last two episodes. And this is the final episode in our series. As a reminder, these were live sessions that I hosted with women. And so they are recordings. They are not me sitting here with a microphone, but rather on Zoom, connecting with a room full of incredible women. And I wanted to share that conversation with you. Next week, we will be back to our regular programming. And, you know, if any of what I'm sharing with you speaks to you and you're wanting to explore more of what are you being called towards? Who are you being asked to be? How are you being asked to step forward? Please reach out to me either on Instagram. My handle is here in the show notes, or reach out to me via my website. I would love to connect. I would love to chat with you. And I would love to talk about how I can support you on your journey. I have guided and supported hundreds of women as they've stepped into their next chapter, letting go of past identities and creating a new one. But that comes from the most authentic place. So the ways we can do that is we can do that via Supernova, my membership community, or via one-on-one work. I'm working on some deeper programs. Those are to come. But for now, those are the two ways that we can work together and then I can support you on your path. But for now, tune in to this third session of the Self-Authored Woman and let me know what you think. Okay, so today, before we get into what the focus is for today, I just want to quickly recap the journey that we've been on over the last couple of days. So on day one, our first day together, we explored the relationship with ourselves. And what is the nature of the relationship with ourselves? Do we have one? We all do. How deep does it go? How much space do we allow for that conversation to come through? Do we pay attention to the feelings that we have, whether they are a desire for something, a longing for something? Do we pay attention to the knowings that we have? You know, those nudges that we can either choose to ignore or to act on or move on or just simply bring awareness to. Are we actively creating spaciousness in our lives so that we can hear our inner voice come through more clearly and more powerfully? That's the thing. The more space we give her, the more she'll speak up. The more she'll say, okay, there's a seat at the table for me here and I'm going to share. And we can rely on her. We can really learn to rely on her. So the first day was really about reconnecting with that inner voice. We have so much within us that tells us which way to go. And it doesn't mean that we ever do it alone. We always have, you know, people that we can turn to, or we stay open to where is that resource coming from, or where's that support coming from. But that initial knowing has to come from us. And then yesterday, we focused a lot on our inherited identities, our inherited beliefs, conditioning that we have sort of accepted as the status quo when we sort of have just been working on autopilot, really, and not having the opportunity to say, does this even make sense? Like really kind of unraveling some of those beliefs and some of that conditioning and some of those roles and identities and all those acceptable versions of ourselves that we feel we have to uphold. And realizing that so many of those are survival strategies that, again, we've inherited and that they absolutely served us as women at one point in time, but we are moving into a new time. And so those strategies don't, not only do they no longer fit, they're holding us back in big ways. So that was what yesterday was about, was really examining those. And today, now that we have become more conscious of the stories that shaped us, the question really becomes, what are we choosing as we move forward now? So what happens from here? And that leads us to self-authorship. So let's talk about self-authorship. Self-authorship is the process of becoming the primary author of your own life, rather than letting societal, external expectations, conditioning, roles, or a need for approval to write our story for us. It is a shift from being externally defined, right? Like all these people defining us in our lives, to being internally guided. Instead of outsourcing our authority, the part of us that knows, to culture, family expectations, societal timelines, career identities, or other people's opinions, we begin building our own internal compass. And that begins with listening, as we did on day one, to our own truths, to what we feel, to what we know, our own values, what is important to us, what really matters. And that doesn't mean we shut out the external world, but we integrate that information and wisdom consciously and mindfully, not on autopilot, not like that's just the way it's done, that's just the way it is, that's the way I'm supposed to be. And then we can use our discernment and self-trust to move from that place. So we integrate with the external world, but it's always from this place of our internal compass that we move forward. So that means you define what matters to you. You define what success looks like, what is fulfilling. And as we talked about, I think, was that yesterday or the day before? What is fun, right? We were saying that like there's what is fun. There's like doing fun things and then there's having fun doing them. We get to define what that is for ourselves. What is fulfilling? What is fun? For me, that means no roller coasters and no cold plunges. And believe me, when you're in the world that I'm in, cold plunges are a thing. I have tried them. I do not like them. They're not for me. And I know you're not supposed to really like them, but I'm just saying they're not for me. We get to decide. You know, there's pressures in every environment to conform to a certain degree. This powerful inner knowledge, if we continue to protect her and we continue to nurture her and deepen our relationship with her, her voice grows over time and allows you to consciously choose how you want to live, lead, create, and relate. So self-authorship is essentially taking responsibility for the direction of your life. And sitting in the seat of self-authorship, we can ask, who am I when I'm no longer responding to who the world told me to be? I'm going to put that in there. Who am I when I'm no longer responding to who the world told me to be? Such a powerful question, because we have these identities that have been formed. And as we talked about yesterday, there's so much of it is that is the truth of who we are. It's our true essence. It's our spirit. And that is a part of it. But there's a whole other part that is malleable. And when we ask this question, it starts to kind of wake up the parts of us that maybe are dormant, maybe haven't been invited in. Maybe you've been suppressing for some reason or another. So self-authorship begins first with acknowledging that no one is going to give you permission to take that seat, to sit in the driver's seat. Nobody's going to give you permission, like we talked about on day one. Nobody's going to say to you, let's just stop for a second. Tell me, where would you like life to go from here? We have to decide we're taking that seat for ourselves. We have to say, that seat is mine. I'm saving this seat. We have to leave our purse on that seat. Right? Like when we go to an event, we leave our purse on the seat so nobody could take it. We have to do that. It's our seat. Okay, so how do we go about turning this idea of self-authorship from theory into practice? This is about the beingness of it all, right? It's like we are so good at taking things in intellectually. We're so good at absorbing more information. But one of the things I have been thinking about so much lately is that integration piece. How are we living what we're learning in small ways and in big ways? And at the very starting point, we can notice how we weave it into our daily choices. Like the simplest things, like what time we get up and what do we do next as soon as we get up? And how do we get dressed or what do we wear when we're getting dressed? How do we move throughout our day? These are all, you know, minuscule opportunities that add up to a lot to practice self-authorship. So rather than being on autopilot, how are we self-directing ourselves through the day? All those small choices we make. So for example, if we feel tired, do we go for a quick walk to get energized or do we push through? If we're in a zone and we're getting a lot of work done and somebody calls and you know it's not an emergency, do you answer the phone or do you say, I'm in a zone, I'm not answering that right now? These are all the small ways that we can practice it. And what happens is that the more we do this, the time between us knowing something, like knowing something is good for us or not good for us, or what would be the next right step, the time between knowing something and actually doing it starts to become shorter and shorter. We don't need to like think about it too long. We don't need to like sit on something too long, right? We can just move because we're in such integrity with ourselves that we can know something and then we can move on it. We take action much more quickly, and that allows our expansion to come through our movement. And then we also don't wait for conditions to be perfect before we move, because we rely on self-trust and our ability to figure things out and know what to do when it's time to do it instead of needing to control and plan every little scenario. This is a big one. When we're moving into self-authorship, it requires moving when conditions aren't perfect. When I say conditions aren't perfect, it means there's loose threads. We don't know how this is going to work out. What if this doesn't work out? What if this happens? What if, right? And so we have this need to over-control, and that keeps us stuck. It keeps us stopped. But if we can live from this place of self-authorship, meaning I hold the pen in my hand, regardless of what happens next, I'm going to figure out, you know, where the story goes from there. That's power, right? So then we can move. We can be like, I don't need to know everything. I'm going to move. And as we all know, this idea of needing to control and needing to know all the outcomes, it's an illusion. Anyone who has been let go from their job at the drop of a hat or been betrayed by someone seemingly out of nowhere knows this. We do not have control. There is so much we can't control. But most importantly, self-authorship is about deciding who we are becoming. It's not letting our external world and external circumstances, or even our current circumstances, decide that for us. And, you know, I did not use these words at the time, but after my husband passed away when I was 38 years old and I was a widow, I, again, didn't use the word self-authorship for sure, but I very distinctly chose myself. I wasn't sure what that meant yet to say that, but I knew I was going to decide who I was become from there. I wasn't going to let my circumstances author what came next for me. And as we take back the pen, and actually, let's just take a moment here. If you would close your eyes for a second, bear with me. I just want you to visualize something. I'd love for you to visually see all the people in your life holding pens in their hands. Your parents, your partner, your kids, your siblings, your work peers, your close friend circle. But not just that, it's societal expectations of women. It's even the news, right? Grabbing for our attention constantly. See the pen in the hands of all those people furiously scribbling your future day by day. How you're going to respond, what you're going to do next, what you're not going to do, how you're going to hold back, how this might trigger you or distract you. It's a big one. Filling up your life with how they see you, with what makes them comfortable and their perceived notions of you. And now, still with your eyes closed, see yourself walking into that busy, crazy, frantic room. And as you walk in, they all look up and they put their pens down. And you walk over to the master desk in the middle of the room, a beautiful desk, and you pick up the most beautiful pen you've ever seen. And you look around the room at everyone staring at you like, what is she doing? What is she doing with that pen at that desk? And you sit down and you start writing. That's what self-authorship is. It's realizing how much we are affected by things outside of us and that we have the agency to take back the pen. And when we do, we're just inviting so much in. When you think about what you would invite in as you take back the pen and start writing your own story, what comes up for you? While you think about it, I'm going to keep going. Okay, so I shared that I, you know, decidedly took back the pen after my husband passed away. In my first apartment alone ever, I started writing my future story. And that doesn't mean that it was perfect from there on out. Definitely not. But when I think back, if I had done what others had thought best for me, I would have stayed, first of all, living with my mom longer than I did. I actually moved into an apartment very soon after my husband passed away. I would have waited to start dating, because that was something that was expected, that I should wait longer before I started dating. I would have taken the life insurance money that I had received from my husband's passing, and I would have sunk it into a condo, because that was the advice that I was given. You should buy a condo. And yet, trusting my inner voice, my inner guidance system, and not doing all of those things led me to the most magical life experiences. And that apartment became my cocoon. It became my own chrysalis. And it was messy and beautiful all at the same time, which is really what a chrysalis is, right? The goo, the mess, but yet the beauty. And I felt very grounded, but also afraid because I was in the great unknown. I had no idea. I'd spent most of my life with this one man at my adult life. And I had no idea what was coming for me, you know? And one day I came across, and those of you who have worked with me before, you've heard me share this, but I came across this quote in a book, and it was, "The magic of the unknown lies beyond every corner." The magic of the unknown lies beyond every corner. And I posted that up and told myself to look for the magic in the unknown instead of the fear in the unknown. It's such a simple shift, but if we can, in any situation when we're moving forward and we're uncertain, if in the uncertainty we can see the potential for magic instead of fixating on the fear-based thoughts, we can, you know, jump into like this beautiful, sparkly, light void instead of a dark one. The women that we are becoming requires that unknown space. It requires us to kind of go into that space and to be willing to. And for her to emerge, that version of you that you could see on the first day, like expansive and free and confident and full of life and alive and joyful and creative, all of these things, for her to emerge, we can't do that from the safety of our cocoon or our apartment, right? We need to take some risk and maybe some big risks at times. We need to like make bold moves. We need to get comfortable in the discomfort. And believe me, there's so much discomfort on this path, but we all know that, like, you know, not saying yes to the path, it's maybe not uncomfortable, but it's painful. We also have to be willing to be a little bit cringe. As the kids say. So, you know, on this path, the opportunity, the self-authorship opportunity is to choose yourself over certainty again and again. Choose yourself over certainty. And I did that again recently when I left my 20 plus year retail career and, you know, stepped into the work that would lead me to Supernova. And I left that path before I had any guarantees. I think that there's so many ways we can set ourselves up to feel safe, to feel held, to make big moves. We don't have to like throw ourselves off of a cliff. We can make ourselves feel as safe as we can, but not in place of moving, because ultimately we need to move. And, you know, we have to be prepared to make leaps knowing the net will appear, without the evidence already in place. And anyone who has done anything worthwhile, as I think if you reflect on your own journeys, you didn't have that evidence before you leapt. Maybe you had some analogs or some examples, but you didn't know until you leapt. So on the path, when we're confronted with fear or imposter syndrome, which really doesn't go away if we're really constantly doing something new, we have to come back to, okay, this discomfort feels pretty shitty, but I'm not going to turn away from what I know, which is this is how I want to move forward. I'm not going to self-abandon, and I'm not going to turn my back on myself. And I will trust what I know within me. There's so many memes on Instagram that say, you are the one you've been waiting for, right? You will always be the one you're waiting for. That is self-authorship. Okay, so let's reflect now on the woman you feel emerging through some reflection questions. All right. Okay, let's begin. So this is the first question, and this might be something that you have been feeling for a while, or it might be something that's just come up in the last few days. What feels true for me now that I may have ignored before? What feels true for me now that I may have ignored before? The next question is, what would change if I trusted myself more deeply? And then finally, what desires am I ready to stop apologizing for? You know, as you reflect on these questions and on the women you're becoming, but that you also are, right? Like, this is the whole thing. Like, we are always constantly becoming, but this is not just about becoming. It's about owning the woman that you are today. Like, there's so much there, right? And it's about allowing her to come through. And, you know, this having space to have a conversation with yourself, it really matters, and clarity matters, and taking action matters. But your environment matters too. And the truth is, it can be difficult to become a more self-trusting and expansive and courageous version of yourself while remaining in environments and in conversations that constantly reinforce the opposite. It's difficult to become who we truly are in environments that reward who we used to be. And our families are the first people, you know, like in some ways, I think that my family is still catching up to who I am now, and that you all, you know, who are in community with me, know me better than my own family, even though I'm close to them, because I'm still, you know, all the past versions of Kana to them. And so we are profoundly shaped by the people around us, and we normalize what we repeatedly see. It's actually funny. My mom is staying with me right now. I've shared this with some of you. And my mom's, so my dad, my mom's husband, my dad, passed away when my mom was 50. So 12 years, basically, later than when I lost my first husband. And she still shares with me that, you know, she feels often like, you know, kind of bad that this happened to me. And she looks around and there's all these couples who are still together in their 80s. And that's what she sees, right? And I explained to my mom that since being on this journey, I have formed relationships and created community and gravitated towards so many people who have been through hard things that I don't actually feel that, because what I see are humans who have gone through really hard things and who have overcome and who are contributing in their own ways. And that those are the people that I have intentionally surrounded myself with. Now, that was easier for me to do than it was for my mom. So it's not shade to my mom in any way, but we absorb what surrounds us and we rise or shrink to the in relationship to the environments that we spend time in. And so I actually recently was reading this book called How to Be Bold. And it's like one of those Malcolm Gladwell type books, right? With a lot of science and stories to back up, like, how can we be bold? And one thing that really stood out to me is the idea that people tend to become braver when they feel connected to a group or community that they identify with, right? We are more willing to take risks and to speak honestly and move courageously when we feel supported by others around us, even if they're not like right next to us. But it's this feeling like I'm a part of something. And every time I make a bold choice for myself, or I like say yes to something that feels uncertain, that feels scary, but that there's, I have a desire for, I'm doing it on behalf of so many other women. And I'm going to go share it with them. And that's going to give them permission to do the same. And that is especially true for women. The women around us shape what is possible for us. When I was 40, I, you know, after my husband passed away and after a few years, I made some friends that have been such expanders for me on my journey, in that we're constantly showing each other the way forward. right? The people we surround ourselves with, they shape what we normalize, right? So something that feels like a wild decision to me, like, oh, I'm going to invest in this, or I'm going to make this big decision. I'm going to host this big event. I'm going to like reach out to this person. Like in certain rooms, people will be like, really? Well, what are you going to say? Like what, you know, do they even like, well, why would they want to hear from you, right? You'll hear that in one room, and another room, you'll hear like, yes, go for it. You know, a really great way, you should send a voice note, right? Like there's being in those rooms creates a level of possibility. It also creates like a sense of what we will no longer tolerate that we're not here for and what we are here for. And seeing other women be convicted in what they desire gives us permission to desire it too. You know, we haven't talked a lot about nervous systems in the last few days, but when another woman makes a courageous move, it expands what our own nervous system believes is possible. You can probably even feel it. Like when you share stories with someone and you're like, oh my gosh, I just feel some relief in hearing that story because wow, it feels safe for me to do something similar. My courage becomes your courage. Your bold move gives someone else permission to make her own. Her admission of fear gives you safety to share your fear out loud too. And this is how we as women have always grown and evolved and gotten stronger and stepped into leadership. And I think so many women have spent years in environments where they have not feel fully seen, fully safe, and fully supported in who they are. And that is why I created Supernova. I posted this thing on LinkedIn about how so many of the businesses and organizations that are, you know, coming forward today are from people who are wanting to heal their own wounds and the wounds of humanity through their work. And I know that so many of us, maybe not consciously, but that is something that is like, is there for us. And Supernova for me was a place where we can bring our full self, but also be witnessed when we are ready to say, this is where I'm going. So it's a place to bring your full self as you are, but also to say, I know that this is a place I can be honest about what I want and what I'm navigating and who I'm becoming. That's really the intention behind Supernova. A place where you don't feel like there's dead ends, but there's always a window or door to move through. And I know that one of the things that I have heard from so many conversations is that we feel split, right? Like even as I described how I show up with you and how I show up with my family, although I'm pretty much show up the same way with my family, they just don't see me the same way. That's the difference. They just roll my eyes when I'm like, let's talk about, you know, and I lean in and I'm like, all right, tell me, mom, what do you love most about being a mom? And then she's like, oh, really? Do we have to do this? I'm like, yes, we do. But, you know, I think that we do have the split that we are struggling with. We want depth. And we want meaning and we want to have permission to rest and to take care of ourselves and to have connection. But we also want growth and strategy and ambition and expansion and impact and more for our lives. There's like the version of us on the LinkedIn profile and the version of us off. And I think for a long time, we felt like we had to choose between those two things, right? And yet we were never meant to choose. And I think that's why some networking groups can feel really performative and bro-y, because it's like, this is a networking group where you're a network, right? And then sometimes spiritual circles can feel too floaty because it's like, okay, this is great, but like, how do I integrate this? How do I bring this into my life? And Supernova was created to hold space for all of that. Okay, so I'm feeling like, you know, based on the way this conversation has been going over the last few days and hearing what so many of you are navigating, that there's like an opportunity to take this work more deeply over the summer. And I'm going to think about how we can bring that forward. But I do want to wrap us up today by emphasizing that self-authorship doesn't happen easily in isolation. And, you know, whether that is a community or a mentor or a coach or a program, we need to connect to our inner voice, but then we need to link arms and get support in order to take that next step and to not take it alone. And environment matters, and it's community that shapes what's possible for all of us. There's that saying that when one woman rises, we all rise. I'm sure you've heard that saying, when one woman rises, we all rise. Well, there's a compounding effect when we all rise together. So if you are not already a member of Supernova, and this goes for those of you who will listen to this replay later on YouTube, if you're feeling like this is just the beginning of an important conversation for you, I would love to continue walking with you, as I know so many of the women who are already in Supernova would. So this is an invitation to invite you in. And inside this community, you'll find so many meaningful ways to connect with other like-minded and like-hearted women on their own soul journey. And we do this through everything from live meditations, accountability calls, connection calls, guest experts, masterclasses like this one that are exclusive to the community. We have relationship support circles, and we have a beautiful portal that houses our full member directory and discussion spaces and our replays and resources. Thank you so much for being here. For those of you who are going to also watch this recording and who were with us the last few days, thank you for your honesty and your openness and your vulnerability and your willingness to have these conversations with yourselves. Every time we choose to take the time for something like this, something in us shifts. It really does. And even if you, after you hang up, if you don't have to race off somewhere, if you could take like 5 or 10 minutes to just write down what is coming through for you, maybe like, this is what I know now, right? You could say, this is what I know now, and this is how I'm going to choose differently. This is how I'm going to choose differently. That's the two things I would leave you with. And I know that there is so much more available for women, especially at this stage of life, when we stop putting ourselves last, when we stop turning our back on the things that we know that we desire, and we begin listening to what is true. So take good care of yourselves tonight. Stay close, as I said, to what has been coming through for you. Even if you do, again, tonight, like hand on heart, what do I most need? And take the time to journal. And I hope to continue the conversation one-on-one with many of you soon.